Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Times have you heard someone say, oh, they have a wall up, or they have a wall around their heart? They've been injured so many times, they put a wall up and they won't let anyone in. Well, our guest today has a solution for this. Dr. Bradley Nelson of the famed Emotion Code and Body Code books is here to talk about this exact thing. What do you do about a heart wall? What even is it? And how does it affect our lives? So Bill and I want to welcome you today. Hi, Dr. Nelson.
Thank you, Liz. And it's great to see you again. And Bill, it's great to see you. You're two of my favorite people. It's always fun to be back on your show. So good to see you. Thanks for having me back on.
Welcome. Well, will you let everybody know just a little bit about your origins? I have to say first that, you know, Bill and I, we talk about you sometimes behind your back. And there's always this one conversation about a story in one of your books that we always remember about the horse and the bird.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the story, like the famous story, and how this story anchors you in our minds and in our hearts and reminds us of the kind of work that you do. But I would love for you to share with everybody, what were those origins? How did you get here? And what are we really talking about?
Well, what we're really talking about is really two things. First of all, I was a computer programmer back in the early 1980s. And so I was in on the personal computer revolution. And when I became a doctor, it began to dawn on me that there was a computer of sorts inside every patient. You know, for example, if I were there with you guys, if let's say Liz, if I were there with you, and if you were to hold out your arm parallel to the floor, and if you were to make a true statement, if you were to say, my name is Liz, that's a true statement. Your internal computer knows that. If I were to press down on your outstretched arm at that point, and you were to resist me, you'd be able to resist me. You'd be fully strong. But if you were to say something incongruent or untrue, for example, if you were to say, my name is Bob, if I were to press down on your arm, even if you tried really hard to resist me, you would not be able to, because there's a change that takes place in the inner body when we say something that's incongruent or untrue or negative. And that's how a lie detector works, right? I mean, they hook you up to this machine, you can lie all you want, and you know, you probably won't pass it because the body will tell the truth about what's going on with you. So that's one thing. That there is literally a computer within us. We call that the subconscious mind or the unconscious. It's the part of each one of us that is really doing all the heavy lifting. It's the part of us that is keeping the heart beating, keeping air moving in and out of our lungs, creating millions of new cells every minute, trillions of chemical reactions probably every second in the body. It's doing all of that. And the conscious mind, on the other hand, is where we spend all of our waking hours. But when we go to sleep at night, the conscious mind shuts off. So it's only really with us half of our lives. And the unconscious is always there. It's always, you know, it's always doing its thing. Well, so that's one thing. We need to establish that. and that we can communicate with this internal computer is a huge part of this whole story. That is really going to change how we work on our bodies and how we take care of ourselves from now on. The other thing is that we develop emotional baggage. And to understand that, you really have to go back to the early scientists who, the contemporaries of Albert Einstein, people like Niels Bohr and so on, who were looking at the looking at nature, looking at reality at the smallest level they could possibly discern it, looking at the subatomic particles that make up the atom. Of course, there's a lot of research that's been done since then, but those guys, even back then, understood the profound nature of our reality. Einstein said something really interesting, probably over 100 years ago. He said, the medicine of the future will be the medicine of frequencies. It won't be drugs and surgery. It will be frequencies. That's really interesting, isn't it? And even before him, Nikola Tesla, one of the most brilliant people that ever lived, said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration, because everything in the universe ultimately is made of energy, frequency, and vibration. You know, the chair you're sitting in, the desk you're sitting at, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, it's all made of energy, frequency, and vibration. Well, we experience emotions. And during the years that I was in practice, I found that the emotions that we experience sometimes don't get processed. Sometimes we bury an emotion that's coming up because we don't want to feel it. Sometimes we artificially enhance an emotion that's coming up and we get really upset. And sometimes we experience emotional events that are just overwhelming. And because of these three different things that can happen, we develop emotional baggage. And what I found was that all of my patients, no matter how young or old they were, no matter what they were suffering from, whether it was something physical or mental or emotional, whether they were dealing with physical pain or depression or anxiety or phobias or panic attacks or post-traumatic stress disorder or self-sabotage or some kind of eating disorder, it didn't matter what it was, they all had something in common, and that was their emotional baggage. In other words, the energy. Remember, everything's energy, frequency, and vibration. And sometimes when you don't process an emotion like you should, the energy of that emotion stays suspended in the body, and then it leads to all kinds of symptoms like these. And so because I'd been a computer programmer early on, it helped me to understand and have a way to process all of this. And so those are some big fundamental principles. Now, and now we get to the heart. And the heart is very interesting. You know, if you go back to ancient times, the ancient peoples all uniformly believed very interesting things about the heart. Unlike any other organ in the body, the heart was very special to them. They believed the heart was the seat of the soul and the source of love and creativity and romance. And they believed that the heart was really everything. And we know now, after ignoring the heart really for a long, long time, I mean, if you look up in any Western biology textbook about the heart, you'll see that it says, oh, the heart is just pretty much a muscle and that's all it is. Over 100 years ago, they discovered that the heart has all this gray matter and white matter in it. But it wasn't until 1991 that a study was published actually showing that that this gray matter and white matter in the heart, which is a brain, the gray matter and white matter, just like the brain that's in your head, that this is a totally separate brain in the heart. In fact, they call it the little brain in the heart. And it operates very differently. It's a totally different brain than the brain that's in our head. So we actually all have two brains. And they've proven this. And when they looked at the communications between these two brains, they found that the vast majority of those communications between the brain and the heart were traveling from the heart to the brain and not vice versa. And so that was a real surprise to them. And that indicates that the brain that's in our heads is really obeying the messages that are being sent by the brain that is in our hearts.
Isn't that incredible? I love this. I love this. And I love that you're bringing the science to it. This is so amazing because, you know, right, in all of our lives, how many times have we, said to ourselves on romantic love, like, oh, my, you know, I know that's poison over there, but I can't help it. I have a feeling about that. You know, it's like, it's wrong. It's the wrong person for me. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's like, what are you thinking? You know, and then afterwards, you know, you're like, oh my God, what did I do? You know, man, I should have known. All the signs were there. Anyway, yeah, it's the head obeying the heart, you know, but this is obviously for all of us. I think everybody can relate to what you're saying about the traveling of the information. I'm so excited to have you on because there's so many of your stories that are so valuable for the listener to hear about the work you've done. But the one of the ones that really struck us, that Liz was just alluding to, is that it's not just us. It's not just humans.
No. Who
block off our heart and fall into despair. And this story, I thought, really kind of hit home, at least for us. That's why we talk. One of the things we were like, God, you know, Dr. Bradley and the horse story. And I always remember it. But tell us
that story.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Okay. Well, how much time do we have before the break?
About 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Okay, I might be able to tell it in 4 minutes. All right. Well, when I was in practice, once in a while, I would get a call to go and work on a horse because I had a patient that was a horse trainer and she had had asthma and I'd been able to help her totally get over her asthma. So one day she called and she said that she had this horse and the problem was there was something wrong with the horse's hindquarters. It wasn't walking correctly. And so they couldn't use the horse anymore. And they had a vet come out and look at it and there wasn't anything obviously wrong with the horse. And so she called me. And so, so my wife and I went over to look at this horse. Now, when you work on an animal, with the emotion code, and by the way, we teach in the book how to do this. You basically talk to the animal and then you muscle test another person. It could be yourself or it could be another person acting as a surrogate. And so that's what I was doing in this case. I had, my wife or someone else that was standing in between me and the horse. And I'm talking to the horse, you know, I think the horse's name was Ranger. So if you can imagine this, I'm talking to the horse and I say something like, is your name Ranger? And the answer comes back on the outstretched arm of the surrogate person, very strong. So that's a yes, that energy is coming from the horse. Do you have a trapped emotion contributing to this problem with your hindquarters? The answer was yes. So using the chart of emotions, which is 60 emotions divided up into 2 columns and 6 rows. I was able to figure out really quickly that the horse had a trapped emotion in column A, row 3. The emotion was sorrow. So I started asking questions. Well, was it sorrow about another horse? No, the arm was weak. Was it about a human? No. About a dog? No. Cat? No. So I'm kind of running out of ideas. And right then this bird flies over. And I thought, well, okay, was it sorrow about a bird? And the answer came back rock solid on this person's arm. And there's a little crowd gathered around and everybody burst out laughing. And I did too, because I just thought, okay, this sounds really silly that a horse would have sorrow about a bird, right? But the horse's owner was there and she said, wait a minute. She said, I think I know what this is about. She said, a week right before the horse went lame, right in front of the horse's stall was a nest of baby birds, and a baby bird fell out of its nest onto this little roadway. and struggled for his life for a while and died and probably got run over by a tractor or something. You know, it was right in front of the horse's stall. So the horse was totally powerless to help. And we tested to see, I asked, okay, is that what this emotion was created from? And the answer was yes. And so the horse was just overwhelmed with sorrow because of being a mute witness to this little tragedy that played out. This poor baby bird was never going to know the joy of flight. It was never going to be able to have its own little baby birds. Its life was already over before it had even begun. It was just so sad about it. So I released the trapped emotion from the horse, and then they immediately took it out and walked it, and it was perfectly fine. No more lameness at all whatsoever. Absolute true story. And there are so many stories like that now. When I wrote the Emotion Code book back in 2007, the only stories that we really had were the stories that had happened to us, you know, my wife and I. But the hardest part of writing this new book, The Heart Code, was sifting through 10,000 plus stories from people from all over the world, you know, to pull out the best and most interesting ones for the book. But anyway, that's the horse story. One of them. There's other ones too.
I never get tired of that story. It's so great because it really shows you that our animals have the capacity for such love, such emotion, loss, the understanding of life and death. And we just, you know, go around thinking they're just animals. And, you know, they have this tremendous capacity for love. And if we had as much capacity as they did, I think the world would be a different place. So let's take our first break. Okay. And when we come back, maybe we can coax Dr. Nelson into telling us a few more of those stories, maybe one of the 10,000. All right, we'll be right back. Let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Bradley Nelson about his new book that is coming out December 2nd, The Heart Code. So you told us our favorite story about the bird, and we're talking about how the heart has a second brain. And, you know, I think it's Alyssa Rinkin, talked about sitting with patients. She was a heart surgeon, sitting with patients and talking to them about what happened right before they had their heart attack or heart condition. And in every story, there was a heartbreak. Mm. The body, she found, was very literal in this way. That there was something that had, and we say it and we have it in our language, it broke our heart, yeah. You know? And this story about the horse, it broke his heart, but manifested in his hip. So a little less literal. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Well, you never know how things are going to manifest. It's always different for every person. There's really no cookie cutter approach because we're all individuals, even if we're an animal. In fact, that brings up another interesting study. This actually was a study that we just finished. And this was absolutely amazing. What we did is we worked on mice that had been traumatized in a laboratory in India, right? And we compared working on these mice using the emotion code, releasing trapped emotions from them, compared that to using a drug that's used to treat trauma. And in every category, both behavioral and also biochemical, They were tested for four different biochemical markers, including cortisol and glutathione, and every possible marker using the emotion code on these animals on the other side of the planet did better than the drug therapy with no side effects, and brought these animals back to normal behavior and normal blood chemistry in every measure that in every area that was measured. It was really amazing. I'll send you a copy of the study. And that was at a distance too. And that's one of the beautiful things about this is that it works at a distance. Einstein was right. The medicine of the future, it's going to be the medicine of frequencies. And this is, you know, this is part of what it looks like. Well, you know, there are so many amazing stories. Let me share a little bit more about the heart. So the ancients believed all of those things about the heart, I think, because, you know, they were no different than us. I mean, they felt like their heart was going to break at times. And they knew that that wasn't a sensation that, you know, it wasn't a pain you'd get in your foot or something. You'd feel like someone sitting on your chest, right? Or like you can't breathe. It was centered in the heart. But by the same token, they also, I'm sure, knew that if they were really feeling deep love for somebody, or if they were listening to someone maybe perform at, you know, the top of their ability, really truly, for example, singing from their heart, they would feel that in their heart as well. And if they looked around, you know, at that moment, other people that were experiencing that would have their hands over their heart or one hand over their heart, and they maybe have a tear in their eyes. So this is universal, right, to mankind. That's where these old ideas came from. Well, back in the 1960s, when doctors first started doing heart transplants, they noticed before long a strange phenomenon where people would come back to them and they would report that their taste in music or food or sports totally changed. Sometimes they would have memories of being in places that they never in their life had ever visited. Sometimes until their handwriting would even change. And for example, a 47-year-old lawyer, I read, got a heart from a 12-year-old boy. And with that new heart, he also inherits this really intense craving for candy, especially Snickers bars, right? Because now suddenly his heart is 12. That's the little brain in the heart, right? And another amazing, one of the most amazing ones is where a 9-year-old girl received a heart from another girl, another young girl who had been murdered. And when she recovered from the surgery, she immediately began having nightmares about being murdered herself. And what she was seeing was the murder of the donor. And in fact, her parents took her to the police and they were able to make composite drawings. Her descriptions of the murder and the murder weapon led to the arrest and conviction of the killer of the donor. Think about that. She was seeing the murder. That would make a great movie. Wow. Anyway, amazing stories. The Japanese discovered something very interesting too that we talk about in the Heart Code book. They found that women, particularly over the age of 55 or so, if they were going through some intense emotional event, would often go to the hospital thinking they were having a heart attack. And when they would examine these women and do an X-ray of the heart, they would often find that the heart looked like what they call a takotsubo, which is a Japanese fisherman's jar. It's a little jar that the fishermen put on the bottom of the ocean, and the octopus come along, you know, or octopi, whatever. I don't know. I guess that's plural. And they find this little, you know, perfect dwelling place that they think is their new home, and then they end up as sushi. But the heart assumes this weird shape of this rounded bell-shaped jar. And I mean, the heart looks exactly like one of these jars, a takotsubo jar. And so what's happening in those situations is the heart is failing, right? It's the left ventricle that is just basically given up and is just ballooning, right? And so so that's an interesting thing. You know, Doug Flutie, you remember Doug Flutie?
No.
Doug Flutie was a football player Played for Boston, I think, back. I mean, this is probably in the 70s. I don't know. A long time ago. But anyway, I'm old enough to remember him. And very popular guy. Well, a number of years ago, his father died of a heart attack. So he's with his mom. They're at the hospital. Both his parents are elderly. And his dad's been gone for about an hour. And his mom leans over to give her husband, a last kiss on the forehead. And all of a sudden, she slumps over and she's dead. And so he lost both his parents in the space of an hour. And he actually said, he said something to the effect, I've heard you can die of a broken heart. And I think it's absolutely real. Well, I think that's what happened to her. So, if you feel like you're having a heart attack, by all means, call 911. But if they come back and tell you your heart enzymes are all normal, it wasn't really a heart attack, you may very well be on your way to dying of a broken heart. One of the very first people that I worked on when I was first figuring out the emotion code was a lady that came in to see me. I'd seen her before. She was a patient, but I hadn't seen her for a couple of months. One day she shows up and she says she thinks she's having a heart attack. And she's got crushing chest pain, difficulty breathing, her left arm's totally numb, left side of her face is totally numb. So I tell my staff, look, this looks like a heart attack. We were right next to a medical center, so I knew we could get an ambulance really quick. But I said, give me 1 minute with her. And so I did some testing and found she had a trapped emotion that was contributing to these symptoms. And within a minute, I had figured this out, that there was a trapped emotion of grief that she had that had occurred 3 years before. And when I arrived at that, she burst into tears. And she said, I can't believe that's affecting me. I thought I dealt with all that. And I said, well, what in the world happened? And she said 3 years before, she found out that her husband had been having an affair. And so she confronted him with the evidence and the marriage blew up and it just ended. And it was just horrible for her. She was really in love with that guy and was so betrayed and just in such a state of grief. That emotion that she was feeling was so powerful, it did not get processed. And so that energy was still there. And so when I release that trapped emotion, and we release a trapped emotion by just swiping a few times with a hand or a magnet right down the middle of the back, the feeling came back into her arm and into her face within about 3 seconds. And the chest pain gone, difficulty breathing gone. She left the office about 10 minutes later after joking with me and my staff. And I remember after she left, sitting down at my desk and my head was kind of spinning, thinking, what in the world was that? How did an emotion cause what looked like a heart attack? Well, if you think you're having a heart attack, call 911, right? Go to the hospital. But here's the thing. In her case, I think if we had not released that emotional baggage, it's very likely that she would have been someone who probably would have died of heart failure, right? She would have had Takotsubo syndrome, which of course can be completely fatal. She would have had heart failure. The people at the funeral, nobody would have realized that what really killed her was her husband's affair, right? This is the kind of thing that goes on. By the way, she and I are still friends. I mean, she has a horse ranch in Oregon, and she's never had any other trouble, really. But and that was over 30 years ago. So it's very interesting. Well, what happens to us is that when we experience those feelings like heartbreak, like a heart is going to break, the subconscious mind will build a wall around that heart to try to protect it. And that's what the heart wall is. And that's what this new book, The Heart Code, is really all about.
That's really fascinating. And like you said, that person probably would have died of a heart attack. I mean, it's very likely. All the symptoms were there.
Yeah.
And then probably retroactively, Western medicine would have made up a physical reason for it, not looking at what the actual reason was. In our work, we always look at grief as ongoing shock. The body's in shock. And it never quite gets out of it.
No,
and right. It robs the body of so much energy. So you find that especially with grief, other things don't heal. A lot of times the body will just start to almost wither, you know, shrink away, because there's so much energy focused on that form of fight or flight from that shocking loss. And we found that it can be so many things, things like that, an affair, loss of a job, loss of a business, money, loss of an opportunity, creates this pain that the body continues to be in and recognizes as fight or flight, which does cause real illness.
So, yeah, absolutely. The body just kind of gets stuck. When you have a trapped emotion, the body gets stuck in that moment and is just continues to live in that moment.
Exactly.
On into the future.
Yeah, it's true. We call the nervous system the great time traveler, because it's always back there trying to sort it out or projecting it into the future.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true about it.
Yeah. Right? And then you've got this round and round. So we just have a couple of minutes before the next break, but you said this can be done remotely. And I'm sure people in the audience are like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. How do you muscle test for one person if that person's not in the room?
Well, it has to do really with quantum physics. And, you know, the problem with quantum physics is, as the great Richard Feynman said, if you don't think quantum physics is weird, you don't understand quantum physics. It's not only weirder than you think, it's weirder than you can think, right? And so there's something in quantum physics called entanglement. And that means that energies that are far, far apart can become connected and will move together. They've done studies where they'll split an atom and they'll send two particles in completely opposite directions. And miles and miles away, if one of those particles is deflected by a gigantic magnet, for example, they know the other part will deflect, the other particle will deflect at the exact same instant, at the exact same angle, even though it's not affected directly itself. So it's a strange phenomenon. But it absolutely works. And again, the study that we just completed with these mice is proof of that, and those mice were worked on, and they were on the other side of the globe. In fact, my our research director and I worked on these mice. She's in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm a couple of hours north of Las Vegas. And you know, the interesting thing was when we would tune into each one of those individual mice, and we had a number for each mouse, and then like an overhead photo of the mouse in its cage. The fascinating thing was, I was expecting they would all have the same emotion, you know, like fear or something. Every single mouse had a different emotion. I worked on six of them. One had confusion. One had resentment. Another one had fear. Another one had anxiety. All different for each one. They were each one an absolute little separate individual. And that was, I'll never ever forget that. It's really, really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes us question what consciousness is in terms of animal. Who, you get fear because fight or flight, but you wouldn't get resentment. You wouldn't think it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We are up against our next break. Let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And when we come back, why don't you, Dr. Nelson, tell us how people can actually get this book before we continue on our conversation. And everybody at the UK Health Radio Network, take it away.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're here with Dr. Bradley Nelson. We're talking about the heart code. Would you tell everybody how they can get this book? Also, how they can get some special gifts. I know the book's on pre-order right now, but people can get an immediate copy, right?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to my website at drbradleynelson.com. That's D-R. BradleySon.com. And if they go to that page or that website, they can pre-order the book with some special gifts. Now, here's the thing. You can pre-order the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and that's fine, but you don't get any free gifts. But if you go to DrBradleyNelson.com, you can get some really cool gifts. So, for example, if you buy anywhere from one book to as many as you want, you get the digital copy of the book that you can start reading immediately, okay, the whole book, and an invitation to a special webinar that I'm doing. If you buy five books, now, let me just tell you, why would you want to buy five books? Well, this is absolutely the best Christmas present you can give to someone, and you'll understand more as we go. But anyway, if you buy five books, you get a personalized 30-minute heart code session with one of our certified practitioners somewhere in the world. And so that session is transferable. It can be gifted to somebody. And then, you know, there are more books. If you want to get more books, you know, at a certain level, you know, we'll have a full day in-person training led by me. I'll take you and two other people flying. We'll do the Grand Canyon. I'm a pilot. We'll do the Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Lake Powell, and Zion National Park all in one flight. Change your whole life. So anyway, that's at DrBradleyNelson.com.
Oh, that is just awesome. Now here is the important question. You said something that really sparked, I'm sure, everybody's interest. They're going to want to get the book, and everybody go get that book, because I believe Dr. Bradley, having personally witnessed this in the past, is his work works. So the point you made a minute ago, it's going to change your life. So tell us what's in the book that's going to change their life.
Well, so what we found in 1998 is that the vast majority of people have put up a wall around their heart. When you feel like your heart is going to break, if you think about your own life, maybe you felt that recently. Maybe it was something that you felt 10, 20 years ago. Maybe you were going through a divorce. Maybe your parents were going through a divorce. Maybe something bad had happened to you. You're really being abused or something. Maybe when you were a kid, you had to cry yourself to sleep at night. Maybe you were bullied and so on. Well, about 93% of people have put up this wall. It's a subconscious thing that protects the heart from being broken. The wall is made of layers of emotional energy, okay? Kind of like the heart or the horse had that emotion of sorrow, right? That patient of mine whose husband had the affair, she had a trapped emotion of grief around her heart. Well, you can have multiple layers of emotions wrap around the heart. And what it does is it interferes with your ability to give and receive love. It interferes with your ability to really manifest, to create the perfect blueprint for your life that lies within your heart, I believe. The Heart Code book teaches people how to actually get rid of this wall. And this is something they can do themselves, right? You can learn how to do this yourself. And this method is taught in the emotion code. We teach it in the body code as well. But we really wanted to, what we knew, my wife and I knew when we first published the emotion code book back in 2007, we knew that eventually we were going to have to write a separate book just about this concept. This construct that the subconscious mind puts up around the heart, this has been called the most important discovery in the history of energy medicine by people. And it is unbelievable how powerful it is, because the heart truly is everything the ancients believed it to be. Now, think about this. If you're trying to find love, okay, let me tell you a story. One of the very first people that I saw that after this was really shown to us, it's an amazing story how this all came about, but it's all in the book. But one day a patient came in to see me. She was 38 years old. She really had pretty severe neck pain. It was about a 9 on a 0 to 10 scale. And as I was talking with her, she told me that she was a nurse. She was 38 years old. She hadn't dated in 8 years, and she was never, ever going to date again. She was going to die single. And she was very, very serious about this. And I said, well, why do you feel that way? You know, what happened to you? She said that 8 years before, she was really deeply in love with this guy that dumped her and broke her heart. And so that was it. She hadn't dated since then and was never going to date again. So as you might imagine, in the breakup, there were some really intense, difficult emotions to deal with. And those emotions had become incorporated into this wall, this invisible wall of energy around her heart. Three emotions making up this wall. They all had to do with the breakup. When I cleared the last one of those emotions, and this whole process probably took 10 minutes. When I cleared the last one, suddenly the neck pain was instantaneously gone. Went from a 9 to a 0, boom, just like that. And she was thrilled. That's what she'd come in for. So she left the office feeling totally fine, didn't come back for 3 months. When she came back, and I'll always remember seeing her in my office, I said, hey, I saw her in the hallway of my office, and I remembered her immediately. And I said, hey, how are you? What's going on? She said, you know, my neck has been fine since I was here. But she said, about 2 weeks after I was here last, I found out my childhood sweetheart has been living right around the corner from me for almost 8 years. And we're dating and we're in love. Wow. And I think he's going to ask me to marry him. And I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? I thought you were, you know, never going to date again. But you see, think about this. I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens when this wall is taken down. Her childhood sweetheart had been living right around the corner from her for almost 8 years, and she'd never run into him once. Why? Well, she had this wall, this invisible wall, right? When the wall was taken down, only took 2 weeks. Boom, suddenly they ran into each other. It's a cosmic, just the most amazing thing. Let me tell you another story. One of our practitioners told us that her sister called her one day. Now, her sister was divorced. She'd been divorced for 9 years, and she had never she'd never had any emotional work done at all. She just wasn't interested. But finally, she calls her sister one day. And she says, listen, she said, I've been alone for 9 years now. I'm tired of being alone. I got to find somebody. I'm not getting any younger. I don't want to, you know, spend the rest of my life alone. She said, can you come over and work on me? Maybe I've got a heart wall or something. So the two of them got together, spent the weekend together. Sure enough, she had a heart wall, cleared her heart wall. Neither one of them told anybody what they were doing. When the weekend was over, beginning of the week, guess what happened? The phone starts to ring. Who do you think is calling? Well, guys that had known her before, and now suddenly her heart is open. And so now suddenly she pops into their head. Oh, gee, Marcia, you know, haven't talked to her in a long time. I heard she got divorced. I'll give her a call. Ring. Hey, Marcia, what's going on? Right? I'm telling you guys, this is how quantum physics works, right? Well, I'm talking to the choir here, right? You guys know all about that. But for your listeners, this is a very, very real thing. That energy goes out into the world. And if your heart is closed off behind a wall, not only does it make it harder for you to give and receive love, but it makes it much harder for you to have your best creative ideas, because they will never come from the brain in your head. They will come from the brain in your heart. That's why we've all been told at some point, I would say, by somebody when you graduated high school or college or something, you should follow your heart. Follow your heart. That's such great advice. But what if you've got a wall around your heart that's the size of Pluto, you know, or I mean, that's what happens. It's like we get this wall that's built up from all the stuff we've been through, and it just makes it so much harder to get through life. Let me tell you one other thing about the heart wall. During the last 10 years of my practice, most of the people that I saw had been told there was really no hope for them at all in Western medicine. And these are people who had fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and autoimmune problems and on and on and on. And what I found was that 100% of these people had a heart wall. And with these people, I would always do an initial examination. I would test all the organs, all the glands, all the chakras, all the meridians. And I would often find that all the organs and all the glands and many of these other things would be imbalanced. Sometimes with these people, I would just do one thing. I would just clear the heart wall to took me two or three sessions. I would redo that initial examination, inevitably to find that 80% of all those organs and glands were now humming away like they were supposed to be. Incredibly powerful stuff.
You know what that makes me think of, really? The heart is the first, that's where the first spark has to happen. Once that little heart in a fetus starts going, the electricity is there to build the rest of the body.
Yeah.
So it really is the energetic center of the body. It's the electricity part of the body. We know this because when the heart stops beating, what do? They shock it, give it some power, electricity to get that going again, right? So it's the electric center. If it is suffering, if it's diminished in some way, of course, the rest of the organs cannot get the just horsepower, the electricity, the energy that they need to thrive, which includes the brain. So the brain is the biggest consumer of energy, right? So if the heart is diminished in its capacity to send that energy because of emotions, which are huge, or other physical things, then of course the whole body suffers. So it would make sense that if you clear that out and you allow it to function properly, have the kind of electricity that it needs, that everything else would thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it became just an indispensable part of the work that I was doing. I really do believe that it is getting rid of that wall is the single most powerful thing you can do. It's the easiest thing you can do, but the single most powerful thing you can do to help yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically. I mean, so many people have had their lives transformed by having their heart wall removed. In fact, the most difficult part of writing this book was sifting through over 10,000 testimonial stories that people had submitted from all over the world about how having their heart wall removed transformed everything for them. And from people telling us that for the first time in their life, they knew what it was like to feel the emotion of love or to feel a feeling of joy, or get this, to feel the love of God, the higher power, the source for them. I believe that's what runs the whole universe, is the love that comes from God, from our Father, that fills the immensity of space and keeps everything going, keeps the planets in their orbits. But most of the time, we're kind of immune to that, to feeling that. But it's because we feel with the heart. We don't feel with the brain. And so when that heart is open, suddenly we become susceptible to feeling those feelings that are permeating the universe, that really, I think, science eventually is going to understand. I believe that the dark matter that fills space is really just the love of that higher power for us. That's what I think.
Yeah. You know, Napoleon Hill said it's the thinking stuff of the universe.
Absolutely.
Thinking stuff.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, this has been a fascinating conversation. We've come up against the end of our time. Will you please come back again sooner this time?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Just contact Lacey, my assistant.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back. Any final words, Bill McKenna?
Yeah, I got a final word. Everybody go out and get Dr. Bradley Nelson's book and remove your heart wall. There you go. Order it online. Go flying with Dr. Bradley and change your life. Thank you, Dr. Bradley, for coming on. And we are thrilled to see all the progress and all the wonderful things you're helping humanity with across the globe. This is a global phenomenon. You can get practitioners anywhere in the world now for the emotion code. So I just want to also, plug your practitioners as well.
All right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You can find our practitioners at discoverhealing.com. That's our main website.
Wonderful. Discoverhealing.com. All right, everyone. Until next time, be safe and be well. We'll see you all again real soon.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.